Radio.
All right, everybody. That's a little old school, DJ, huh? It's that time again on a Wednesday evening in a very live hour. 8 to 9 p.m. hour on a Wednesday evening. We're live from the Blog Talk Radio Network, the best show on that whole network, the Kay Thompson Live Show. I'm the one that's known as the Sun Citizen Payne, Eric Payne. You better not call me too many other Paynes, but, you know. And here she is, the lady of the hour, the one and only, my mom. Your name is?
My name is Phil K. Thompson. So, anyway, hello, everyone. Anyway, we're going to get right to the stories that we're going to be covering. And, boy, do we have a lot of time, you know, stories to cover. But we're waiting for our other co-host, and Wayne Gilman is going to be coming on, I'm quite sure, as is Byron Saunders. So we're going to be getting them on the air. Which one is this? Is this Byron?
I believe it's Byron.
Byron, yeah. Hello. How are you?
We're having a little trouble. Hold on, Byron. We're having a little trouble with the line here. It appears that we have. There you go. Go ahead. There you go. Speak, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Speak.
Well, it's another blessed day in paradise. And just to remind New Yorkers that tomorrow is voting day. So please do your civic responsibility. Remember, choosing not to vote isn't rebellion. It's called surrender. Vote to exist. That's what it's all about. So that's all I'm going to say right now. Wait for Wayne and jump into the hot topic for this week.
Uh-huh.
And it's nice to
hi, Byron. How are you?
Kay Thompson is live. I love it.
Of course I'm live. What about you? Are you live?
Alive and kicking. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. We're waiting for Wayne Gilman to call in because we have a dynamite show today. And and we're going to be covering a number of different topics. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the U.S. Open and Serena Williams.
Yeah.
And I'm still very angry what happened to Serena on that court. And so that's going to be one of the things we talk about. And one of the other things is let me see here.
Bob Woodward.
The Trump, who wants to hear about dumb Trump? I want to talk about Colin Kaepernick. Is it Kaepernick or Kaepernick?
Colin Kaepernick.
Taking his knee. And we're going to get to all that and while we're waiting for Wayne Gilman. But let me start talking about Serena, okay? I'm curious about the treatment of Serena Williams at the U.S. Open. She was so entitled to be angry. This woman and her sister have gone through hell on the with the tennis organization, okay? I remember seeing them when they were very young. I'll go back in many, many years when they first got on the scene. And their father taught them to be really so courteous, so, you know, perfect on the courts. And they have done that. You haven't heard Serena go off like that. And she had every right to go off years ago about what was going on with them. I remember being at so many of the tennis tournaments with Serena and Venus, of course. And they were taking all kinds of, I was going to say S, but crap, you know, from the people in the stands. Okay, they went through hell. And sometimes when we were out at the different tennis courts in New York and New Jersey and elsewhere, those girls went through hell and they maintained such dignity for little kids. I remember interviewing them, both Serena and Venus, when I was at WLIV, you know, at the request of, you know, who owned the station. And they were tall then, taller than me then. But anyway, and they were just absolutely perfect and wonderful and young ladies. And they never said a negative word, and they never even had anything negative about them. So for them to do what they did to her, and including the big financial cost. It's a wonder that she didn't call them a whole lot of other things. I can think of words, all right? But she maintained a silence all that time. They played with dignity, okay? So, boy, I'm really, really annoyed about that. But that's the kind of thing that, you know, African-American right. women have to go through. Another thing that, yes, you want to talk about what Syrian yeah. also? Sure.
Yeah, I don't want to chime in here. Maybe you want to chime in, too, after the Byron. But to me, I'm just interested in all the reaction. Obviously, someone told me to check it out. They had, and they felt that Serena was a little bit out of line. But once I checked it out myself, I didn't think she was out of line at all. I thought that, you know, she was playing her game. She'd get a little frustrated, obviously, as people do when things aren't going their way, when they're playing their sport. But that's part of the game. But she was, I agree with you. I agree with everybody that she was within her rights to, you know, she was frustrated. We've seen McEnroe and all these other people do it. And over the years, we've seen all the other people do it. And it did seem sexist because you've seen the dudes do it.
And
racist. And of course, in races. And this, and here's the craziest thing to me is that what kind of sport takes a whole game away that the person already won the game? You're going to go back and I can see a point, you know, I can see the fine for cursing the ref out. Some people do that. $17,000 ain't nothing to Serena. She's got a husband. It's a principal, but she has a husband who's a billionaire. She's worth about $100 million probably herself. So $17,000, but it's the principal. And certainly when you're a champion, anybody is going to get mad when you accuse them of cheating. And when I saw the footage, it did look like the guy was doing whatever. But apparently, from what I understand, all the coaches do that. And Serena, you pointed out to me, Maz, did other people. Serena doesn't need anybody to coach. She knows what she's doing. Let me just finish my point really quickly. She doesn't need anybody else to tell her what to do. She's professional enough. I saw Stephen A. Smith the very next day talk about, you know, he took the counterpoint from Max Kellerman, anybody who watches that show that they have on ESPN. And he went down the list and said, so-and-so, this year, that same ref charged so-and-so some points. And he talked about the men. And he said that Serena lost her argument when she made it about gender. But, however, he went on to attempt to make his case, saying, you know, so-and-so did this, point taken away. So-and-so did this, point taken away. So-and-so did this, point taken away. So he was trying to say the same thing. However, he made the very point of it being gender because none of those men that the same thing happened to with this same umpire had a game taken away.
Right.
And that's ridiculous. Like I said, I don't know what kind of sport they're playing over there in tennis, but they need to get that together. And what you're saying about them receiving all the treatment, I watched footage of them playing in one of the tournaments in Orange County when their father was walking down and someone called him the N-word. They don't do tennis like they do in basketball and football, you know, where the brothers will go up in the stands if you come out your face too much, you know. So I'm in total agreement with what happened with Serena. You want to say something else, and I guess I'm sure these guys want to chime in, but go ahead, Mom.
Yes, I do. Also, I want to, you know, mention the young lady who won.
Right.
You know, her father is Haitian, and a lot of people have been wondering that. And her name is Osaka, okay? Naomi Osaka, and she's a wonderful player. She beat Serena, and she beat her good.
Yeah.
Even though I like Serena, and Serena is still my champion. But I'm telling you, she and this young lady, and she played a game that you have not played. I watch tennis. I live tennis. I've played tennis all my life. And I've experienced tennis discrimination and racism on the court when I first started playing with my sister and I in East Orange, New Jersey, in Newark, and in Elizabeth. So, therefore, I have a lot to say about tennis. But Naomi Osaka, 20 years old, she is the first Japanese-American whose father is Haitian.
Japanese-Haitian-American,
right. And this was a Grand Slam singles. And guess what? Djokovic was in Serena's corner, okay? He understood, okay? So don't blame Serena. Serena had every right to go off. It's one of that, those two should have gone off years ago. I know that I would have, and it would not have been nice.
Okay. And let's also welcome our other co-host to the show, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Wayne, how are you this evening? What say you?
Good evening, everyone. I'm just fine, and I just want to piggyback on what you were saying earlier, Eric and Kay. I agree. I think no question that Serena was right to stand her ground, if you
right.
will. Pardon the expression. And the The other thing is that you mentioned Stephen A., and with all due respect to people from Queens, you know, that brother's from another planet. You know, he's always taking, you know, the opposite end of the spectrum instead of looking at reality. And I didn't get a chance to hear the show the next day, but I'm pretty much almost certain that he would take the role that they're actually paying him for. And that's it, you know, and I said it. I'll take responsibility for having said it. But the deal is that Serena certainly did the right thing. There's always been a double standard, and it's not just men and women. I also think there's some racism involved with that. And today, the United Tennis Association came back with some sort of decree that they're going to impose because they figured the umpire didn't get all the publicity has been focused on Serena, and that the umpire should be given some sort of support. So I don't know what that's about. I heard it in passing as I was coming in here this evening, but it's just sad what goes on there. You know, me too. Me too.
Byron, let's get Byron. What do you think about this whole thing?
First and foremost, Serena will always be our champion. And she said her quote, and I give it back to us to listen to and kind of just let let it simmer in our system. I don't cheat to win. I'd rather lose. And with that comment, it says a lot about her character.
Right.
She's been graciously supported the champion afterwards, making sure she felt appreciated and loved, because as it is, Osaka said, Serena was one of her heroes, her sheroes.
Yeah.
So there was a mutual love and respect for each other as players and professionals and friends. Now, secondly, this umpire has targeted Venus and Serena in the past, as it turns out.
Oh, really?
So this is not the first time that he's been known to show a little bit of bias as a chair. And then I have to ask the question, why are we having men chair the women's match? Are we not open to having women chair the women's match? Something's wrong with that optic. I don't know. What do you think,
Kay?
No, you're right. I agree with you.
I disagree with both of you. No, it's not. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Men always have to get their noses in it.
No, he's saying.
I know what he's saying. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I agree 100% with you. I agree 100% that is something wrong with that optic. And it is, you know, let a woman, it's the women's championship. Let it be about, let the women, you know, not let, they should be included. I'm not, I want to erase that let. That's kind of, from, I don't want that to be coming from a male chauvinist perspective. Equal time, everybody is equal. A woman should be champion. You're 100% right. Here's the other thing, me not paying as much attention to a tennis as I used to, as I was walking by watching him. And just if you turn the sound down, brothers, and my mom, who is a sister in terms of race, if you turn the sound down, you look at the screen and you see two sisters playing tennis in the finals, you know?
Yeah.
One looks a little Asian. One looks like she mixed with Asian, but she's certainly – the main thing that you notice about Naomi is that she got color on her skin. So the whole vibe of all of a sudden – and it says that she constantly points out the fact that she is a Haitian Japanese woman, and they keep trying to. And I, from what I understand, is that it was her father who suggested that she enter in to represent Japan, even though she lives in Florida, and she's half Haitian. So, you know, the whole fact that now everybody talk about she's, and she's from. Lisa just chimed in and said she's from Brooklyn too. So now. Everybody talking about the Japanese, and I'm watching it. I'm like, well, they keep calling her Japanese, but I'm seeing two black women play. One looks, like we said, look like she got a little mixed with something, but from what I'm seeing, it's two black women playing. So, you know, and they robbed, and people pointed out, now let me chime on to that fact, they robbed her moment. at that time of her moment to shine because of the controversy of that idiot. So that's what I wanted to say about that.
At the same time, let me tell you, the press from that will never be forgotten, okay? And this young player, even though she had to go through this period, she doesn't really know how lucky she is because this is the biggest controversy in tennis in a long time. You haven't heard the end of this. How dare they say that about Serena and Venus? Because those girls have put up with so much crap.
Right, right.
And I know because I was at so many of the matches, okay? That it was absolutely unreal. It's a wonder that they came out with it whole psychologically, all right? So as far as I'm concerned, Serena can yell all she wants any day, up and down every court in America. She's entitled, okay?
That's what the superstars do. The superstars get that leeway, right, guys? I mean, you Byron, Wayne, you know that. I mean, you watch other sports.
Yeah.
LeBron gets that leeway. Jordan used to get that leeway. You guys know as well as I do. Chime in here about that.
No, I happen to agree. I mean, it's unfortunate that it took this moment of what seemed to be a moment of trying to shame her that's really going to lead to a level of empowerment. You know, I mean, I juxtapose that with the situation with Congressman Major Owens' son this week, the job shaming situation with the young actor. Can't think of his first name. Owens was on the Cosby Show, and they made a big stink about him working part time. I mean, to me, there's a correlation when it comes to people of color. They got to figure out a way to keep the news cycle consistent. And I'm not saying that there's a correlation in that the two incidents are separate, but it's the empowering thing that comes out of it that I find the commonality of interest. Naomi Osaka's gamesmanship will be empowered for the rest of her life, having suffered this moment of embarrassment that basically the United States, the United Tennis Association should be ashamed of, you know.
Of course.
And it's sickening that it comes out like that, but you know, it dominated the news cycle for quite a few days, and Owens, man, I don't know, it's old age. Major Owens, his son, was in the Cosby Show, worked for Trader Joe's out there in Jersey, and now because of him, you know, being ousted because somebody made fun of the fact that he was doing that. You know, it's just one of those things. But his life has turned around. He's been able to get gigs.
Okay.
And I think that's the commonality I'm trying to draw together.
Yeah. I just want to mention.
You know, it's just one of those things.
I just want to mention, you guys, that Osaka is Haitian and Japanese. So get to that combination. That's a fiery combination, boy.
If I can, and maybe you want to jump in here for the final point, Byron, on this particular subject, but if I can, I just want to point out how gracious Serena was in first consoling the sister and also telling people, you know, even when they're playing, she put her hand up and told her fans to chill about the booing. And then afterwards when they stood up and said, there's no booing, don't boo her, it's not her fault. So Serena was really gracious in that and encouraging because Naomi was upset. We also heard crying there because her moment, she didn't want to win like that, and Serena's one of her heroes. I mean, she did win. She was kicking Serena's butt, you know. But, I mean, the fact that this guy, like some refs do, interject themselves into games, you know what I'm saying? Championship games like that. We've seen that before in one of the NBA finals, referees making calls and stuff like that. So you want to give one final point, Byron, I think, and in this, and then, Ma, you'll give one, and then I think a good segue would be to go into, instead of going into Woodward and Trump, and to go into Colin and Nike, because I kind of think they was had it in for Serena because she had the Nike logo. But go ahead, Byron.
Well, yes, he did, but it's been reported as of late this afternoon that Naomi Osaka is set to sign a record-breaking Adidas deal. So you see,
that's right.
You might get
right.
her face. That's right. You might get
that's
her face
only
on
one.
The meeting. That's it. And you
that's
know,
that's only one. That's the first one.
The
but
I'm like you, Eric. You turn down the sound. I saw two black women out there playing.
Uh huh. Also, I have to say too that poor Kaepernick, right, Colin?
Yeah. Yeah.
He should run for president. As far as I'm concerned, he reinforced this whole thing, and with his kneeling at one of those games, at the first game, and everybody's consciousness was at that particular point again, okay? And then now this. You know, incident with Serena. Serena is always going to be a queen, and she better keep speaking out, okay, including her sister. And just think of her parents, you know, and they have, how did they, you know, keep these girls, you know, from you know, being, you know, going crazy with all the stuff that they experienced on the court? You should have heard some of the people what they were saying when I was telling you, you know, attending all these tennis, you know, matches. They were calling them every single kind of name, and they weren't responding at all. Okay, and I'm really furious about this whole thing. But God
yeah.
bless them, because for goodness sakes, they're there. Madison Keys is still there. Who is it? The couple of other. We have several, you know, black females, and I can't think of their names. Sloane Stephens, and you know, a few others.
You know, that reminds me of a. Before we finish, that reminds me of actually the footage of a young Venus being interviewed, and it's on the web now and on YouTube and stuff, everybody. But of a young Venus being interviewed by a reporter, and he was asking her, well, what makes you, she said, I know I can win, I'm confident. And it might have been an interesting, innocent question on his part to say, well, what gives you the confidence? Why do you know? And I just catch the end of the clip. But that's the one where her father interjects and said, she already said it once. You keep trying to ask her over and over again, what makes you so confident? Let it go. Let it go. You guys probably know what I'm talking about in terms of that interview. And it might have been, like I said, a good journalistic question. But if he asked it once and it was answered, and he kept asking it again, I do see her father's point in terms of him trying to put dents in her confidence. And that's a father who was a very astute and aware of how they tried to denigrate and bring down our children, and was not having it, and he let that reporter know. I'm sure you guys have probably seen the interview that I'm talking about, or at least seen that clip where Richard Williams checks that reporter and tells him to leave it alone. The reporter, of course, wants to get a little attitude. Mm-hmm. I also saw something referencing how when people react, when black people react, in righteous indignation, righteous anger, they're often considered, assumed to be angry and always, you know, belligerent. Even though we're very, you know, you might be right. It's within your right to act that way. You know, but people want to look at us. You know, I saw a clip. This has something similar to do with it. I saw a clip on Facebook today where a white chick wanted to touch a black girl's hair because it was so interesting. You know, and somebody made the comment that when we react in a negative way, even though it's a righteous way to act and it's a natural reaction, they still want to turn around and look at us like we're reacting in a negative, belligerent, hostile way, and somehow make that they're taken aback because we're within our rights, exercising our right to act that way. So, you know, the constant racism clearly is alive in America, certainly with Big Chief Little Hands as president. So anybody else want to make a point on this before we move on?
Well, you know one thing also, this is the reason why Black Talk Radio was so successful. And I often wonder what has happened to Black Talk Radio. You know, BLS is still there, WBAI, so forth and so on. But come on, everyone, what happened to Black Talk Radio?
Well, we know.
Speak.
Gentlemen, you want to give final thoughts on this?
What?
I said it's been documented what happened to Black Talk Radio. I mean, we've already been participants in a documentary ourselves that I had the chance to narrate for UK. You were also in it. But there have been other similar moments that have been publicized, and it's unfortunate what has happened to the medium, but we have to move with the times, you know. I mean, there's a need for it, and thank God we have the Kay Thompson Live program and other programs mm-hmm. like it around the country, that at least we have opportunities to discuss the issues of the day, and hopefully we reach the right constituency to have some influence over their thinking, you know. But
I thank you guys, you know, for really hanging in there with us and being a part of this very special kind of show, I think, because you know we can get out a lot more information than you hear on, I think, you know, the radio stations ordinarily. And we can say a lot, and we don't have to answer to anyone either.
That's
a really big thing, because nobody owns, you know, Kay Thompson Live.
What do you guys think of all these people, all these folks that want to cut up their shorts and cut the logo out of their shirts and destroy? Think they're boycotting. However, they don't realize, and I guess it's the thought process of a typical Trump voter to not understand that it's not a boycott when you've already spent the money. You're just ruining clothes that you own. So
exactly.
I'm interested to hear what you think about that, gentlemen.
Okay.
that one got past me. I don't know. You have to go ahead, Mark.
I got one comment. I just have one comment based on the optics of it. And it seems to me that the one thing you can honestly say, and it's humorous to me, the fact that you're going to burn up your own shoes, and you know, so I picture this: you got Daffy Duck. We all know who Daffy Duck is. Picture Daffy Duck saying this. Picture Daffy Duck making this comment. Seriously, I don't know where exactly the UFO landed and dumped all these stupid people, but they apparently are not coming back for them, period. I'll leave it at that.
Call themselves boycotting stuff they already bought, idiots.
Yeah.
Idiots. You already spent the money. And you know, they didn't. Let's be real. And you guys remember? Maybe if you guys were, you know, I'm obviously a little younger than you guys, but I know that you guys remember the time when the Iceman, George Gervin, you know, back in the day when I was in high school, those posters, a big thing was posters on your wall, athletic posters, you know, and Nike was the brand that was on the come up. Right. And their big,
as I
remember as a kid, their big promotional push was a lot of these posters. You know, I remember the football one they had. I believe it was Nike, a Nike product, where when Dan Fouts was playing for the Chargers and he had Jefferson, he had the two black receivers that were real good, and they had the flight jackets on with the hats and Nikes, and that Nike logo was there. And then really the poster or the advertisement that really promoted Nike into the stratosphere, I think, was the one with George, the Iceman Gervin, the finger roll, when he was sitting on top of those ice. They made a throne out of ice cubes because the Iceman was so cool, and he was wearing Nikes. Because you know what? Everything, and we might have talked about this last week, like everything else, we're the ones who pumped Nike up and made it.
Exactly.
The brothers, our community are the ones who spend $1,000 on sneakers. Now, even though we could talk about that as another subject, why we don't need to do that as necessarily, but there was a dude trying to be funny today on Facebook and said, you know, all these people want to boycott. They're buying the $30 Nikes. That's what he was saying.
Yeah.
He said, y'all ain't buying the $150 to $200 Nikes. You know, we're the ones who made it hot, made Nike a hot brand. Otherwise, Mike Jordan wouldn't have come out and made it Air Jordans. We're the ones who made that. Like everything else in this culture, we're the ones who lead the way, who establish the style, and everybody else jumps on board. So now they want to be mad at Nike because Nike did the right thing. Well, go on. Cut up your clothes,
idiot. I mean, obviously Nike knows what they're doing because their sales bounced incredibly high since the unveiling of Kaepernick there. And And they do have some history with them. They're not without fault, because you know, the brother from Golden State Warriors, Mr. Three Pointer. God, I'm having a senior moment tonight, and I know why, but I ain't gonna get into it. But fact of the matter is, I can't seem to remember names. You know, between Major Owens, who's long been gone now. Forgive me, you know, God rest the dead. And Mr. Three-Pointer.
Yeah.
I know, you know who I'm talking about. Yes. Oh, my God.
Curry,
you know, you know what it is? I think I need another cup of coffee. Yeah. You know.
Listen,
Nike offended him. I'm sorry, what'd you
listen,
say?
Listen, Wayne, I'm going to propose Kaepernick for president, okay?
Okay.
Not a bad idea.
You want to answer that, Ma? You want to answer that phone?
No, I'm not going to answer it.
Okay.
Not going to answer
That's
it.
Probably 45 okay. calling in.
Right. So why don't – so anyway, but yeah, I mean, would you elaborate? Because I read something about that story a little bit, too, with Kaepernick, with Nike insulting – Colin Kaepernick. Why don't you elaborate on that a little bit, Wayne? Because I'm not quite sure of the details with that.
No, it was actually Stephen Curry. You know,
right.
We're not talking about this past season, but the season before last. You know, in which he, you know, he suffered a minor injury during the course of the year. Nike was supposed to renew his contract. At one time, he was signed to them, and they called a meeting, and all the bigwigs from the organization met with him and his dad. His dad served as a consultant to him in terms of signing any business agreements with the sneaker organization. And, you know, talk about an ethnic moment of hostility. They walk in. Apparently, the officials who were trying to, you know, take him to the next level with regard to having a high profile with him, they couldn't think of his name. They couldn't spell it properly. All sorts of little things that you know, happened that should not have happened in such a meeting like that, that the father advised Stephen to walk away from it. He went to one of their competitors and boosted their sales because he won, you know, top dog prize that particular season. I think it was 2017 or 2016, I forget. So Nike
right.
has some dirt with them too. You know, if you were
right.
if you were to go into them, but you have to give them credit. That's been the standard company for as far back as I can remember. You know, in our community, if you know, there was a period of time. I'm old enough to say I remember. If you had cons, you could hang, and then once that period ended, then you had to have Nikes in order to hang, you know?
Yeah,
and,
man, that's what I'm talking
was,
about. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. I know that when I make reference to you, Eric, with respect to cons, I'm talking about Converses. I know that's way before your time. But back in the 60s and 70s, you know, if you wanted to go to the park,
yeah.
you better not have skips on because people are going to talk about you and your mama. You know,
that's right.
So it was just one of those deals, but
that's right.
You know, but it you know the whole business community needs a realignment when it comes to that. But I'm glad that racism, the subtle racism, has been a factor to improve the conditions. That maybe there may be some awakening from this. You know, and
right.
And that's that.
Right. Byron,
and thank
what's your
you,
thoughts,
Byron,
about?
Stephen Curry. Yeah.
Stephen Curry, that's right. What's your thoughts about that, Byron? Byron.
Actually, I think I'm very happy for two things. The commercial that Nike made featuring Colin Kaepernick, along with the other athletes that were in the commercial, is brilliant. It's long overdue. You needed to see that. And when they put it at the halftime for the football game, it was the perfect placement of it. I'm glad that they are recognizing to be on the right side of history. Now, you're right about their global engagement of hiring cheap labor to make the tennis shoes and bring them back over here to the United States and sell them to the community for $200 and whatever. But the truth of the matter is that that's part of the problem with capitalism. That's the problem that we have with this country. It's based in slave labor. And as soon as we start to acknowledge that, we can just change the dynamics of a whole lot of things, because it comes back, unfortunately, just like Serena and Osaka, it comes back to rape. And we need to start saying it, calling it exactly what it is.
Okay. We have a caller that wants to say something. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Go ahead. You're on air.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Oh, boy. Kiyoshi?
Hear me?
Kiyoshi? Is this Kiyoshi Matsumoto?
Yes,
okay.
Yes, can you hear me? Can you
yes,
hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you? What's going on? Okay, unfortunately, I missed the whole segment on Osaka and the U.S. Open. There's a lot to be said there. But, yeah, the gentleman that was just speaking made an amazing point, and it's absolutely true. And this is this is indicative of everything, everything in this country. When I first discovered this, when I was in the fashion industry, and when we look at their labels, what do we see? Made in wherever. And I had mentioned a long time ago, wouldn't it be amazing, and this is conjecture, but wouldn't it be amazing if all these people who are branding their jeans, like, you know, all these black icons who have clothing lines, wouldn't it be amazing if they took all these empty factories that are sitting in these inner cities and created a distributed network in order to create jobs in these particular factories for assembly of their products and then distribute them from there. Number one, it would cost them less in shipping, probably more in salary, but what do? We just created jobs in the inner cities. What an amazing idea. But
I've often said that if you took Shaq when he was playing, right, and then you took Magic Johnson when he was playing, and Cole and Jordan, and all of them combined together, and say, you know what, we're gonna make our own sneakers, we're gonna wear our own sneakers, we're gonna build a sneaker factory in the hood, and then, you know, of course it would blow up because the three of them would have been wearing them, star player. I've often said that. Now, apparently, it seems to be something that some people don't want to rock the boat with too much. You know, somebody offer you $50 million. You don't have to do that. Just put your name on the dotted line, and we'll put your name on the sneakers. But, yeah, certain people think that because a lot of people know that Jordan, Mike is not necessarily, you know, the revolutionary, so to speak. You know, I mean, that's kind of the rap on Jordan. Anybody else who's heard that about Michael Jordan, that they say Mike's not really, you know, the rap. I mean, back in the day when people were shooting each other for Mike's sneakers, I had a discussion with my film company partner saying that, you know, he should do something about that. And our debate was, well, he was like, that's not really his responsibility if some stranger shoots him. I was like, yeah, but there's what another friend of ours used to say, there's what is and there's what ought to be. You know, it ought to be the fact that it's not his responsibility, and it ought to be the fact that people aren't shooting each other over his sneakers with his name on, but the reality was that his black people were killing each other because he allowed, this company was charging $150 for his sneakers. So in that, then you, it's contingent upon, if you're going to be like Muhammad Ali or LeBron James, it's contingent upon you to do something about it. Now you look at Stephon Marbury, right? Who made Starburys, very cheap sneaker, but he decided to make them for like $20 for people in the hood, and they were halfway decent sneakers. That's someone who's taking responsibility for their community, you know. So the rap on Mike, just superficially, and what I've heard talking and from my own observations was that Mike is not really that dude. He's not, and you know, while LeBron is taking that money. LeBron, you see LeBron had the school that he started and putting 100% of the profits to his school and all this stuff. So much so that Big Chief Little Hands got upset, you know. And I think he probably got upset because the missus commented on how great it was. And being that he's probably a small-minded and other small hands and other small areas, that his wife was commenting a black man, remember that he had to tweet out that LeBron, big deal about the school. He likes Mike. So, you know, you do have individuals that are socially minded and have that responsibility,
right,
like LeBron James, like back in the mm-hmm. day when Jim Brown and the crew got together for that economic thing. And I think that perspective is something that we need to have more of. I know that you, Byron,
right,
and you, Wayne, probably remember that when Jim Brown, who used to is a different Jim Brown today, obviously, as we see, brought the brothers
right
together, and they wanted to do a whole economic development empowering thing.
Yeah.
Thanks for your question and your input, Kiyoshi. We're going to jump back into this conversation. If you want to stay on and listen a little bit.
Definitely.
Thanks for
your input. I happen to agree. The only thing I was going to say to that, there have been several attempts, I think, by some people in the community, people of note, and some people who are on the sidelines that perhaps have the financial means to wish to do it. I'm reminded of that whole effort with FUBU, you know, how that whole clothing line started. It was I think the basis of that, if I'm not mistaken, was supposed to, you know, provide jobs for people in the community. I don't know where it's at now, and I don't keep up with fashion on that level. But the bottom line is that I've heard two schools of thought on Mike, and you know, when the orange man comes out and he tweets things about someone, very often you just got to take it for a grain of salt because he is who he is. He's crumbling as we speak, you know. And
do you know
a
thing?
A whole
do you want
a
thing? I want to talk about black filmmakers, black young filmmakers. We need more of those black filmmakers,
okay,
young female filmmakers. They have a lot to say. And when we're down at the North Museum, you know, this week, we had a whole lot of information, a whole lot of young black talent.
Yeah, we had. Let's talk about, let's just recap and let everybody know what we're talking about. We're talking about the NORC International Film Festival.
Fantastic.
That was happening in NORC this week. But it did not only consist of African-American filmmakers, since it was an international festival. There's a lot of other people that were involved there from all over the world. But
makes it better.
It helped to highlight a lot of the local talent, a lot of local people that are in NORC, a lot of young people that are trying to be filmmakers and try to participate in this art form. And it was really a great event. It was capped off by, they had an award ceremony. They also had a premiere screening of the new Mario Van Peebles film, which deals with mental illness and guns. And this is really an important film. We went to the premiere that night. This is really an important film. It's a film that is a wild ride when you go see it. But Mario brings it all together and makes some really good points. So I was really pretty impressed. For a minute there, you're sitting there and you're wondering what's going on, but the character is he's not well mentally, and you realize that you, after a minute, that the ride you're going on is that it's all in this guy's head. So Armed, it comes out this weekend in select cities. It's going to be released on iTunes and Netflix as well, I believe.
What's the name of it?
It's called Armed, A-R-M-E-D, Armed, like you're armed with your guns, and it was a really impressive film, and I spoke to Mario Van Peebles briefly, and he needs to be acknowledged in the fact that he's one of the few filmmakers that, from a historical standpoint, he's made a black Western.
We know Mario.
He's made a black Western. He's made a film about the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one else has done those things, you know. So this is a guy who was really trying to put those ripe storylines from our history on camera, so he needs to be commended for that in the NORC International Film Festival, of which my sister Lisa was a board member and contributing member, put together a fantastic panel with rich, legendary screenmaker Richard Wesley, Frankie Faison, actor that we all know, very well-known character actor. Warrington Hudlin moderated this, or the Hudlin brothers, as well as Chael Hadori Coker, who was the executive producer and showrunner of Luke Cage. And it was his take on Luke Cage that made Marvel wanted to hire him and be the executive producer, and now that's streaming currently on Netflix. So this NORC Film Festival is really a great thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure, gentlemen, that you might have some opinions about film festivals. I know you do as well, Byron, being an actor
and a performance artist as
be
well.
Be prepared. Be prepared for the new black film makers, okay, and Latino, okay?
Right.
Be prepared because
right.
they're coming out with some absolute dynamite stuff. And by the way, before we go,
yeah.
Let me see. We have a little more time, but I wanted to mention that I'm going to be talking to, and I have been talking to, remember The Matrix? Remember Sophia? I have been talking to Sophia, the leader of the writer of The Matrix, and I'm going to be talking about her, you know, and to her soon. However, let's get back to the conversation.
And while we have a little pregnant pause there, I just wanted to, I'm reminded of there's an opening soon, I believe, in Newark for the a Grammy Museum, if I'm not mistaken, featuring Whitney Houston. I read something. Right. How soon
That's
is that
amazing,
taking place?
Yeah. Also, if I can. Also, if I can, since we're talking about the film and stuff like that, there was really good film festival. I want to talk about also briefly recap about the Miss America, and we have another black Miss America, but we also have a very woke Miss Michigan, and I'm interested to hear your guys' thoughts about first what Miss Michigan said when she came out and said, I'm from the state that has about 80-some-odd percent of the fresh water in America and none from my state. And that was really big that girl decided to stand up and say that. And that's the introduction part of Miss America. You know, it's a different pageant nowadays where they took away the swimsuit issues and all that and let the women shine and let them, as opposed to being just objects and it being such a sexist thing that it has traditionally been, that, you know, these are very smart, sharp, young women. And I'm interested to hear your guys' thoughts about that. And also we have, like I said, this current Miss America is another sharp woman, a black Miss America. What do you guys think about that?
I'm happy to see that we have and she's a very brown-skinned Miss America. That's acknowledge that first and foremost, so that there's, you know, we've always had this issue of this light skin versus dark skin, and she's a very beautiful, a very attractive young lady.
Debbie Turner was a brown skin Miss America too.
Absolutely. So I mean, but we've come back full circle on this is the period of black girl magic, and it's in politics. It's in the beauty contest. It's in a lot of different areas in business as well. And I'm encouraged that, especially with this Me Too movement, having exposed some of the sexism that has been rampant in our, especially in our country and globally as well. Now, with the young lady from Michigan, she stepped out. And instead of answering the dumb questions that they usually ask the Miss America pageant participants, she stepped out and called it right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yep.
right. It's time we get off of the beauty mark and get back into the socially aware mark, because all that is superficial. It's like fool's gold. All that glitters is not gold. And so she became a very immediate spokesperson for Flint, Michigan, for the state of Michigan itself. We have midterm elections about to come up. Michael Moore's new movie is about to hit. I mean, there's a lot of things that are impacting on the consciousness of this country and
exactly.
the world.
And
it's high time, because at the point at which, now think about this, we got a 45, the president, who denies truth. And right now, Hurricane is about to kick our butts again, and we're not ready. They shifted $10 million out of FEMA into ICE to do what? Separate
yep.
kids from their family? And we're talking about what is a leader and what is a good leader's responsibility to the people that he leads? He needs to make sure they're fed, that they're not hungry, they're clothed properly, that there's shelter for folks. that there's medicines for those who are sick and give hope to the hopeless. And now that we got get past all this, now we he comes up and says they really did a good job in Puerto Rico. Yeah? From 16 or 64 people dead to 3,000 people?
He's full of crap.
What a great job you did.
He is full of crap. You know that.
Also,
okay?
Yeah.
I want to know
also.
What happened to those kids who were taken from their parents regarding, you know, the Mexican children? And what,
yeah.
what's happening? Where are they? Okay.
Well, right now, what used to be only just 400 and something so-called by ICE and the Border Patrol, that there were only 400 left. That there was a report in the news today that
400,
that number exploded to over 2,000 kids who are now separated and in the system. Over 2,000. So they've been lying
to
us about everything.
I'm urging everyone to talk out about this. You know, get on your phone, talk to your congresspeople, call Washington, call whoever. And you think that these kids are still separated from their parents.
Yeah.
Each of us should take some responsibility. Each of us can make a phone call, all right? A whole wave of phone calls all around this country would be very impressive.
A phone call encouraging people to vote. I mean, look at how he started the day.
I'm talking about one specific thing, which is hugely important.
Right.
I'm going to talk about the lives of young children.
Absolutely. And look at how, I mean, it's just indicative of this gentleman's, well, we all know what he's about. I mean, look at how he started off. Look at how he started out 9/11. One of the first tweets of the day on 9/11 was still talking about Russia collusion and all that. I mean, and also his gesture, the whole hand pumping thing, which I didn't really have that much of a problem with as he was greeting people. But, you know, I mean, that's typical of him. But, I mean, when you start the day off, a very solemn day that the President of the United States is supposed to, you know, even George Bush stepped up to the plate. You know, you can debate on how 9/11 went down. I'm kind of a Michael Moore type of person, but even George Bush at that moment understood the gravity of the moment, and this guy starts the day off tweeting about his issues with Russia on 9/11. I mean, it's always about him, you know, and if we, this is a good segue for us to move into the Bob Woodward book in the interview the other day on Meet the Press,
mm-hmm.
where he's talking about the president and him being pretty unhinged, and you know, I was watching Hardball the other night with Eugene Robinson, who said he was hired. His first job was hired by Bob Woodward and Ben Brantley, at the Washington Post. And for when you have Bob Woodward talking about he's concerned about the direction of the country, trying to raise the alarm about what this man is trying to do, his war on truth, his war against anybody, his war against the law, rule of law in our country. I mean, you know, this is an organized crime presidency, an organized crime administration, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm interested to hear what your guys' thoughts are. Let's talk about just a minute.
Let's not even deal with that man, okay?
Right, but we need to talk about it because we need to be aware and woke about
We're
it.
We're so aware.
People that are on our show, that listen to our show, want to hear our take about that. So
our take about it is to get out and vote.
I understand, but I'm interested to hear what you guys think about it as well, our co-hosts, Byron and Wayne.
Well, the one thing that I'm going to remind people, there was another shooting at a Las Vegas high school yesterday, okay?
Wow.
A killing, a shooting death at a Las Vegas high school, and crickets from the president and Congress. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we have issues and an agenda, which is indeed getting us to understand the importance of going to the ballot box. You can make the difference. You can make the change happen right now. Sweep out the bad of the GOP. Get rid of some of them because they've been guilty of obstruction of justice. And it's time to move them out of the office and get some responsible people up in there who really recognize that you cannot reduce the value and the significance of your federal government to try to take everything back to states' rights. The Civil War was fought over that, and they lost the Civil War. So why are we allowing states' rights to supersede the authority of the federal government? Trump and his administration, the entire GOP, are trying to render the federal government dysfunctional. And now that we have hurricane season happening again, we don't have the resources or the personnel to address another major catastrophe. Why?
Let's not mention the name of the present president. I don't care what kind of discussion you have. Don't mention his name.
I agree. But Wayne, you want to chime in real quick?
It's an obscenity what we're dealing with now, and I can't wait to see what's going to come out of the Woodward situation with regard to. I think the book was being released today, or did it come out yesterday? But very, very, he's always been on point, regardless. And I just think it's unfortunate what we're going through now, and with respect to voting. New York State, the Empire State, has a special primary tomorrow. It's only for Democrats. People need to come out and make decisions and choices tomorrow.
Sure.
You know, we have a person in office that's running around lighting all these fires, right? And what concerns me is that while these other things are going on, we're not able to keep an eye on him, you know, because while they distract you with one hand, you know they're doing a whole bunch of other things with the other, right?
Oh yeah.
So that's why I'm saying this guy's running around lighting 8 million fires while you're trying to put out half of them. He's continually lighting them, you know. So that's the thing that concerns me about this individual that we need to get him out of office. He needs to be gone. And
it's not just him alone. It's Pence. It's you know.
Right. It's the whole crew.
It's about the agenda.
We got about. Hold on, everybody. We got about 4 minutes before we go out. You mentioned a shooting the other day, Byron, and also we didn't even touch upon the Dallas shooting, the police officer who somehow shoots somebody because she thinks they're in her apartment. She gets off on the wrong floor and goes to an apartment with a big old red welcome doormat on it and goes in and thinks that's hers and kills the brother. So there, to me, there's obviously something more to this story than what it is. And the fact that they tried to make it okay and work out a way to get her off, she was just recently arrested, is really, you know. So I just wanted to point that out real quick as we go out. We've got 3 minutes, but briefly, if I'm interested in see what you all think about that.
I agree.
We just got to get rid of the 48-hour rule.
Yeah, and there's a picture of the officer herself along with two other white women included in where all four of them, including the brother, are being pictured. So she knew him. It wasn't a mistake.
Yeah, but I don't know if that picture is accurate, because if you look closely to the picture and look at her mugshot, it looks like two totally different people. I saw the picture that you're referencing as well too.
But even if she didn't know him, how do you mistake the wrong apartment? Okay.
Thank you.
There's a lot more to the story that we're not being told. So I'm going to leave it at that. Once again, we got the
Ku Klux Klan. I want to hear more about that story.
Yeah.
All right.
So we got some issues in America. It's called racism.
Right.
You think?
Well, we've come to the end of the show. Let me just get rid of this thing. Can I use this one really quick? We've come to the end of the show. Want to say thank you to our caller, Kiel. She offered some interesting points. Certainly, we like people calling in. Thank you, Brother Byron Saunders. Tell the people
peace and love,
brother. Always. Let them know what you're doing.
Peace and love, always.
All right, my brothers. Talk to you again next week. Yes. Mr. Legendary Newsman, Wayne Gilman. Sir. Let the people
know
what you
feel. Always a pleasure, and forgive my senior moments tonight, but I'll be back in the saddle next week, hopefully in better position.
All right. Thank you, sir. See you again. Talk to you again next week. This is the annual legislative conference for the Congressional Black Caucus. I'm going to be going down there, and we're going to be talking about a lot of issues. I was supposed to be down there this evening. However, I was not able to make it down. So I will be giving a report about that next week.
Yep.
My name is Shane. This is Blog Talk Radio, Big K Thompson Live Show, and you are.
Hey, Thompson, everyone. Join us next week at Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. on K Thompson Live, Blog Talk Radio.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye now. I don't know why the music not playing, but so we're going to go that way, go on out. There we go.